This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has the exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie offers vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, influenza and pneumonia vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy also offers other adult vaccinations like Zostavax for shingles. Protect yourself today. Get your vaccination at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call Carlinville 854-4022 or Gillespie at 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
11 minutes after 6 in part 1 of the Morning Farm Show this morning. First of all, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open 4 to 6 lower, beans 10 to 13 lower, wheat 6 to 8 lower. The overnight crude oil market 40 cents lower at 104.47. Brent crude 53 cents lower at 118.94. The June gold contract, $2.70 lower at $1,661.50, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.006 higher at 78.782. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 647.75, up 5.5. July wheat closed at 654.5, up 4.5. September wheat closed at 666.5, up 3.75. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 660.25, up 7.25. July corn closed at 634.25, up 8.75. September corn closed at 560.75, up 9.75. May soybeans yesterday closed at 1503, up 6.25. July beans closed at 1505.5, up 12. August beans closed at 1483.75, up 17. May soybean meal yesterday closed at 434.30, up 69. July meal closed at 435.50, up 71. August meal closed at 427.80, up 98. May soybean oil yesterday closed at 54.66, down 52. July oil closed at 55.05, down 48. August oil closed at 55.23, down 48. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 336.75, up a penny. July oats closed at 345.5, up 3.75. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the USN. Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon. Another export sale to China and stronger soybean meal prices helped to lift soybean futures. Monday morning, the USDA announced the sale of 220,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China. And in the USDA's Crop Progress Report, Illinois farmers have now planted 79% of the state's corn crop and 13% of the soybean acres. In central Illinois, the grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 9 to 10 cents stronger at 646 to 659, and soybean bids were up 8 to 12 cents at 1483 to 1497. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 5 to 8 higher at 657 to 670. Soybeans gained 5 to 10 cents at 1490 to 1507. And cash wheat bids were up mostly 5 to 6 cents at 633 to 648. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported corn bids mostly 7 to 10 cents stronger, ranged from 659 to 661. Soybeans gained 8 to 12 cents at $14.95 to $15 even, and the wheat price is 5 to 11 higher at $6.45 to $6.48. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed, range from $6.64 to $6.71. Soybeans mostly 6 to 9 stronger at $15.07 to $15.14, and the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery up 3 to 5 cents at $6.45 to $6.55. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed the producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher, ranging from 684 to 703. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 4 cents, with quotations at 1526 to 1527. Soft red winter wheat, 4 cents higher on Monday at 669 to 670, and the Milo ended 7 cents stronger at 634 to 635. That is our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at $83.67, down $1.82. June hogs closed at $85.92, down $0.67. July hogs closed at $86.25, down $1.27. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, $118.75, up $0.30. June cattle, $114.15, up $1.30. August cattle, $116.20, up $0.65. May feeder cattle yesterday, $149.82, up $1.05. August feeders, $153.72, up $1.65. September feeders, $154.87, up $1.67. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Well, this is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Monday, starting with the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct afternoon hogs. Negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,600 head today, are trading 90 cents lower from 70 to 78.36 with a weighted average of 77.96. And in Illinois today, there was 11,550 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a loin was up a dollar and a nickel today at 77.94. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded mostly steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 43 to 46, 4 to 5 weights from $44 to $48, and over 500 pounds from $46 to $50. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $53 to $56. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Monday, hogs are at 410,000 on the day. That's down 3,000 from last week and up 17,000 from last year. Cattle are at 115,000 on the day. That's down 5,000 from last week and down 14,000 last year. The USDA estimated box beef choice cutout values. They had a total of 123 fabricated loads and 30 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 13 pennies at $1.9040, and selects were down 11 pennies at $185.94, leaving the choice select spread at $4.46. The afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review for Monday, trading has been inactive on very light demand and not enough sales in any feeding region for an adequate market test. Negotiated sales confirmed is 1,140 head today. Now on a live basis, steers and heifers traded at $1.20, and on a dress basis, a total of all grades, steers traded at $1.93 to $1.94, and heifers traded at an even $1.94. Thank you. This has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at $15.73 unchanged. For May, $14.94 up 6. For June, $14.27 up 7. Butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April, $146.5 unchanged. For May, $135 unchanged. And for June, $136 up a quarter. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for April closed at $124.5 unchanged. For May, 119 down a quarter, and for June, 114 and three quarter down a quarter. Spot prices yesterday for butter, 135 down a half. For block cheese, 153 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 142 and three quarter down three quarter. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.60. For May, $6.54. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.52. And for May, $6.46. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $14.94. For May, $14.96. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $6.29. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices, once again, corn at Greenfield, $6.60, corn at Scottville, $6.52, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.94, wheat at Scottville, $6.29. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday, brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie. Color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies later today with occasional showers possible. High temperatures in the upper 70s. South winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower. The low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, Wednesday, partly cloudy and windy. The high in the mid-80s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday. Partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers Thursday night. Lows in the upper 60s, highs in the mid-80s. Right now, east winds at 7 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, cloudy skies, 57 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. WSMI Radio is now conducting a test of the emergency alert system. WSMI FM 106 and WSMI AM 1540 serves the local South Central EAS area. This concludes the test of the emergency alert system.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. In our farm news today, major steps were taken, some would say victories made, for the ag industry last week. The Senate Ag Committee passed its version of the Food, Farm, and Jobs Bill last Thursday. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack praises Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow and Ranking Member Pat Roberts for working in a bipartisan way to get a bill through their committee and to the Senate floor quickly. Secretary Vilsack also congratulates Senators Stabenow and Roberts for beginning the process in a positive and progressive way.
You've got an end of direct payments and greater limitations, but in place of that, you've got a simplified process of revenue protection combined with crop insurance, which should provide a solid safety net for many producers. Still work to do there, but certainly a good start. conservation title, greater flexibility, should be able to meet the needs of our conservation requirements across the country, and certainly like the flexibility that's been crafted into the law. A very strong energy title, very strong commitment to research and to trade, and a recognition that local and regional food systems are part of any kind of food farmer jobs bill, and a continued commitment to that as well.
The United States Department of Agriculture appreciates the Senate Ag Committee's efforts, especially addressing the needs of beginning farmers. Secretary Vilsack understands the legislation faces many challenges moving forward.
I think there's going to have to be an awful lot of work there to get those cuts reduced. A $200 billion reduction in overall program assistance is devastating. This bill obviously does provide for less in terms of support from the previous years, but I think it's something that we can continue to work on. Obviously, there will be continued discussion about that. Obviously, several commodities that still need some work, and there's some concerns about the dairy provisions, but all in all, I think it's a very, very strong first effort.
Secretary Vilsack says currently there are no disaster programs, which is a problem.
Maybe some people in Congress are confident we're not going to have a disaster. I, for one, am not. I think we will have a drought or a flood or a tornado or crop damage of some sort or another, and we really do need to have some kind of mechanism in place to protect those farmers who suffer loss.
That's why Secretary Vilsack says there needs to be swift and speedy action in getting the legislation through the Senate process and then working with the House to get them in a more reasonable position. And once that happens, he does not see any reason why legislation can't be finished this year. Regarding the Department of Labor's decision to withdraw its proposed rule that would affect farm families, Secretary Vilsack says that it's an indication that the department listened to concerns of those in rural America. He says through collaboration with various farm organizations, including the Farm Bureau Federation and the National Farmers Union, the focus is being shifted from regulation to education.
We'll be working with those farm organizations, the FFA and 4-H and the Department of Labor, very quickly to set up a meeting to begin the process of try to develop an education commitment over the next year that will really help us elevate an understanding, appreciation for the risks that are involved in farming and to make sure that our children are safe. We can do this, and I think it's great that the Department of Labor listened, and I think it's great that we have this opportunity to work together collaboratively to improve safety on the farm.
And that's United States Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Right now, we'll join Brad Schwab of the United States Department of Agriculture with the weekly crop condition report.
Statewide temperatures averaged 2.2 degrees below normal at 54.1 degrees, and rainfall accumulations came in at 46 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 40 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending April 29th. There were just under 5 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies held steady at 4% very short, 18% short, 63% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 69% adequate or surplus, up 5 percentage points from last week. The wettest crop reporting district based on topsoil moisture supplies was the Southwestern District, with a rating of 46% adequate and 51% surplus. The driest area of the state was reported in the Eastern Crop Reporting District, where 49% of the soils were rated very short or short. Corn planting advanced by another 20 percentage points to a record 79% complete. This compares to 10% planted last year and 29% for the five-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 34%, and this compares to 2% last year and 6% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern District, where 75% of the seed has sprouted and emerged. Soybean planting advanced to 13% complete, compared to 2% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean planting progress was the Southwestern District, where 28% had been planted by week's end. Sorghum planting now stands at 19% complete, compared to 2% normally. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop now stands at 80%, well ahead of the 6% reported a year ago and for the five-year averages. 24% of the wheat heads were reported filled, which is considered well advanced for this date. Condition of the winter wheat crop was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 16% fair, 60% good, and 20% excellent. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition, and the first cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway at 18% complete, compared to 1% last year and 2% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And it's coming up on 6:29 on this Tuesday morning. Seeding rate studies for soybeans suggest a stand of 100,000 plants per acre should maximize yield. Todd Gleason files this report. Also in our farm news today, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network recently talked to a member of an area FFA chapter, and she reports.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. This week we talked to Betsy Kerbeck. She's a member of the Jerseyville FFA, and she's also a Section 15 reporter this past year. And Betsy, first let's get caught up on the Jerseyville FFA, because I know just a couple of weeks back you guys held your annual chapter banquet.
I think there's going to have to be a lot of work there to get those cuts reduced. A $200 billion reduction in overall program assistance is devastating. This bill obviously does.
It's coming up on 6:30 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. We'll have more farm news after this.
Listen for high school baseball and softball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Brought to you by Mark Steeran, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. C&B Bank and Trust with 12 locations to serve you. Consolidated Communications for great TV, internet, and phone packages. Visit consolidated.com. Bank and Trust Company in Litchfield, Carlinville, Farmersville, Raymond, Chatham, and Rochester. And by the Cubbyhole, a mile west of Carlinville High School.
Last week, the BSE reports affected the beef markets, and we have this report from Alan Durand of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Well, the beef industry got a shock earlier this week when it was announced we found another case of BSE, this time in a dairy cow from California. We wondered whether it would impact sales of beef and how it would impact our export markets. So far, though, the market has done fairly well. After a bit of a sell-off on Tuesday, by Wednesday and Thursday, much of those losses in the beef market had recovered. In fact, by midweek, the cattle markets had been rebounding and box beef prices were starting to move higher. And our export customers from Canada to Japan stayed open to U.S. beef exports without major concerns over BSE. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was on a national broadcast late in the week, and in reaction to the discovery of that dairy cow with BSE, he said consumer confidence and export customer confidence should be strong because it all showed that the system worked.
This cow was discovered, taken out of the food supply, didn't threaten the food supply at any point in time. Dairy products and beef products safe in this country, and certainly an indication from most of our trading partners that they understand and appreciate the fact that our system worked.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack explaining the BSE situation to a largely non-farm audience. He also took the opportunity to point out the economic success of agriculture and credited it for keeping the unemployment rate down in many rural states.
Great story. First of all, our farmers are the most productive in the world, and so that gives them an opportunity to not only meet our domestic needs, 85% of everything we consume is produced here in the United States, so we have food security, but we also are able to export. We had a record export year last year, $137 billion of ag exports, a trade surplus in agriculture that helps to create jobs, helps to improve farm income.
And Vilsack pointed out one reason agriculture has been so successful. Over the past few decades, we've worked to expand our markets beyond the traditional feed and export markets.
And then we've expanded the market opportunities. We've taken a look at local and regional food systems. People want to know where their food comes from. They want to have a connection with their farmer. That's a growing, important part of our job. And we've also taken a look at the energy aspects of plant and crop production and livestock waste. We're making virtually everything in an economy from what we grow and what we raise. So there are new job opportunities, new business opportunities, and new market opportunities for farmers. All of that has led to record farm income. When farmers are doing well, they can go out, they can buy a combine, they can buy a tractor. That creates factory jobs.
Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. And at the Illinois Farm Bureau, I'm Alan Durand.
On the AM Live program Monday morning, we talked to Sherry Schaefer of 3 Point Inc. in Greenville. She publishes two magazines, Oliver Heritage and Heritage Iron. Ms. Schaefer grew up on a farm where her father used Oliver equipment and her grandfather was an Oliver dealer. She tells us about how she researched a couple of articles in her magazine.
Yeah, we document a lot of the history. I try and find people that work for the company or people that use the equipment, dealers, and I like to get first-hand information off of them. There's too much information out there on the internet that's just hearsay, so I really like to go to the source and get the good stuff that you can't just read anywhere.
And, you know, you're fortunate, I believe, because, you know, they stopped making Olivers. We were talking about that before we went on the air in the early 70s, mid-70s.
Yeah, 1976 was the last model, and the actual last tractor was a 2255 Oliver.
And that really has not been all that long ago in regard to this. So you've still got a lot of folks around that remember the line and still use it, and still use it to this day.
Yeah, there's a lot of equipment out there, and our subscriber base, we print about 12,000 of those issues, and it's just very popular. A lot of the people that worked for the company were up in their years at the time. I've been fortunate enough to meet with the presidents of the company and a lot of the higher-ups. Actually, the great-grandson of Oliver, I've met with him several times, and he's 93 years old now.
It's coming up on 6:35 on this Tuesday morning. Once again, the overnight crude oil market, 40 cents lower at 104.47. Brent crude, 53 cents lower at 118.94. The June gold contract, $2.70 lower at $1,661.50. Later this morning, expect corn to open about a nickel lower, beans about a dime lower, wheat 6 to 8 cents lower. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.